Out of 15,000 people who were surveyed in 1978 and 1979 by General Mills in a study they entitled Family Health in an Era of Stress, they found that 82% of those surveyed were rated as having a desperate need to cope with stress. And based on studies that have been done over the past 10 years, the American Academy of Family Practitioners now estimates that 2/3 of all of the patients that are seen by family practitioners are ill because of stress. These and similar other statistics have caused many company presidents and industry leaders to be quite concerned. In 1984, absenteeism, company medical costs due to stress-related illnesses, cost American business $50 billion. And the belief is that within just a few years, the stress factor will go to over $75 billion, which would be an average of $750 for every worker in the United States. Of course, we recognize that families and marriages are one of the prime breakdowns when stress occurs. But stress also causes a breakdown in all types of interpersonal relationships. Of course, many things cause stress, and I don't have to outline for you what all of these are because you recognize them in your own particular situation. But stress can be all the way from the anticipation of something that challenges us to the fear that we may be found out when we've done something wrong. The idea of stress comes to us when we seem to be feeling the pressures of job, when we seem to feel the lack of communication in family life, and when we seem to sense that we are not living up to our own potential. Sometimes we catch stress like we catch a common cold. We simply become exposed to it by our day-by-day activities. We don't really plan it, it just happens. And we need not always to be alarmed when stress comes, because physicians tell us that a little bit of stress is necessary. The glandular system of the body is built in such a way that unless we have some anxiety and some stress, the glands will not function properly. But one day you may find that you have been gripped by the disease of overstress without even knowing when it started. And you must begin to look for an answer to your illness by looking at your own life and what is wearing you away. And in this personal struggle, it becomes a type of religious experience. Now, relationships are one of the key factors in stress. When we do something wrong or we do something to hurt someone, we add to our stress. And one of the reasons that we have fear in many of our relationships is because we really do not want to hurt someone else. And yet we inadvertently either do that or say that which causes some anguish to others. And then we begin to fear that we're going to lose the relationship, and this causes even greater stress. A few years ago, two doctors, Dr. Thomas T. Holmes and Dr. A.B. Rahi, who were at the University of Washington Medical School at that time, came up with 43 life events that make up a stress scale. And they rated all of these events by their meaningful quantitative analysis as to what would cause stress within a human being. And of the top 10 factors that cause stress, 7 of these had to do with interpersonal relationships. All the way from divorce, the death of a spouse, marital separation, retirement, But in none of these that were seemingly the top part of the stress-related factor was there any look at a relationship with God, an obedient relationship, one in which God will not be coaxed or manipulated or pushed, but rather that God will be answered. And strangely, this survey pointed out probably the root of the problem as persons become more stress-related. Because one of the first things we need to do when we begin to feel stress is to examine our egos. Dr. Harry Levinson, a noted psychologist, talks about what he describes as the ego ideal, wherein we in our society have become so obsessed with number one that we constantly feed our own ego. And as we find ourselves feeding our own ego, we have the bright, shiny notion that we are ultimately good, perhaps even perfect. We'll do almost anything to see how big we can become, how good we can be, because we want to be able to like ourselves. And so we constantly incite pressures within ourselves to be more than we really are capable of being. Dr. Levinson goes on to say there's often a gap between what we are and what we'd like to be. And he describes this gap as dis-ease. Interesting word. The fact that we are not at ease with ourselves. And this disease, our disease, is stress-related. Our egos have been a part of the underlying problem. That's why even those of us who have a commitment to God in Christ need to constantly examine our lives to see if we're really living by the principles of forgetting our lives, losing ourselves, or if we are living by the principle of building up ourselves to the point that we lose God. Mr. Don Osgood, who is a management trainer for IBM, recently wrote an article about stress in business. Don Osgood writes, and these are his exact words, "If your way is to take charge of life without also learning to really let go, or if you are conducting an ego struggle with God, then you are living in your kingdom instead of in His way." The ability to take charge is an important skill in our busy world, and ego is an important part of that. God created us with egos to enable us to achieve, but it's the preoccupation with ourselves that God objects to, because that is what keeps us in bondage to ourselves. Probably 90% of our life is spent in thinking about ourselves and in racing after the ego ideal. But His plan for us when we are overstressed is that we cease from our own works and become occupied again with Him. According to an old Spanish proverb, it is not the burden, but the overburden that kills the beast. In other words, it's the normal stress of the day plus the worry over ourselves that harms us. Jesus knew this when He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And He writes parenthetically, overburdened, overstressed, exhausted from the rat race, "and I will give you rest." It is a way of restful obedience. I remind you that that is not a preacher writing those words. It's a man in charge of management training for IBM Corporation. We need to be delivered from our preoccupation with ourselves and find again the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus tried to say to us in that Sermon on the Mount when He said, "Why are we anxious? Look at the birds of the air and consider the lilies of the field. None of them are anxious, and yet God provides for them." But we become so anxious about what we are going to be or what we're going to do that we lose all sense of relationship to life. And then Jesus concludes that section by saying, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Well, if we continue to run our lives on the assumption that God expects us to be good, if we continue to live a lifestyle of ego stress, however unaware of it we may be, we are in danger of finding ourselves diseased, ill, greatly troubled. Instead of trying harder, perhaps what we need to see is that we need to consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, and to come to understand that God, in his love, is providing for all of us as well. I suppose there are some ways that we could look at ourselves and see what's really happening to us. Some of the day-by-day stress signals that we can be aware of are that we may have an unexplained change in our own effectiveness. We may look at our life one morning or after several days and realize that we're not really performing satisfactorily some of the tasks that we used to do well. We may come to the awakening that we're really not as efficient a person as we once were. We may also notice the stress signal of an irregular performance. That is, last week we were highly effective, and this week we're not getting a thing accomplished. And so we need to look within our lives and see if we've become a victim of stress. Of course, another thing that happens to people who become a victim of stress is that there soon develops a pattern of absence. You find yourself really feeling that you are ill. Or you find yourself taking a day off in order that you may fill up your life with other things, perhaps less important than what you're capable of doing. But you seem to find that a certain appointment or a certain activity that is coming up puts you under such stress that you'd rather not face it. Of course, the stress represents itself in cool relationships. People that you used to relate to quite easily aren't quite the same anymore. It's almost as if you feel that they have changed, when in reality, your approach to them has probably changed. We need to look at ourselves, because sometimes stress just creeps in on us without us realizing what's happening. And the stress comes because we pride ourselves on who we are far too much. There are other things that, of course, can happen. There can be a sudden change where we are thrust into a situation that's new to us, different than we've been accustomed to, and our own inflexibility causes us to feel stress. Our own inability to cope with something new or something different leads us to feel tensions within. There's also the stress that comes with thwarted ambition. This often happens to people in the middle years of life who have come to middle age and begin to realize that they haven't reached the life goals that they once hoped to achieve and probably will never have the hope to achieve them. And then there's the fear that comes with growing older. The fear that often happens because we sense that our capabilities are waning. Usually this fear is groundless, because capabilities change as human beings mature, and you develop new strengths to offset some of the ability that you once had in other strengths. And yet, without properly interpreting it, it can become a cause for stress. Of course, personality clashes often occur. The fact that someone's trying to bend you into the way that they would like you to be, and you are set on a predetermined course of where you intend to go, and this becomes a type of stress that is outwardly thrust upon you. Another thing that often happens to us is that we end up doing something that violates our conscience. And it takes maturity to stand up for what we believe, or to say to a neighbor or even to a superior that we simply have a different point of view. And when we fail to do it, it often leads to stress. Well, all of this is a part of the pattern. But the answer is to be found in deliverance. And that is that we begin to see ourselves in terms of some day-by-day practical ways in which we can get around this. And from the perspective that I would offer you this morning, I think that much of this has to do with finding where our faith speaks to our own personal need. I don't believe our Lord was too far off when he said, "Do not be anxious." Because most of these things that we have described are anxiety and worry related. And perhaps we need to take some practical answers to finding our way out of these stressful situations. One thing we can do is temporarily set aside our problems. When you get in the middle of a stressful situation, you can develop the ability to temporarily put that situation out of your mind. You might concentrate on something strikingly different for a time period and then return back to the problem and approach it with a whole new perspective, a whole new outlook. You might say to yourself, "Well, this needs to be done, but it can be put off for a couple hours. Let me get into something else and come back to it." And often this helps. Another thing that you can do is work on sort of an unconventional schedule. And that is that you work on the difficult task in the early morning when you have none of those distractions that seem to cause stress. And you can learn to prayerfully wait in order that the strength of God might help you to face them. One writer that I read about this subject said that one of the things that you could do is write memos. Now, of course, there are a lot of people in business that are writing memos all the time. But this particular writer said, simply sit down and write memos to God. If you're caught in a stressful situation, simply write out a note explaining your feelings in plain and strong terms. Write down exactly what's disturbing you. Name specific persons and specific actions that are bothering you. Get your feelings out of your system. Then prayerfully talk about it with God, and then tear up the memo that you've written. Of course, there are ways in which we can handle stress by changing our environment. Taking a little time off, taking a cold shower, finding a little recreation, doing something different. Sometimes living under stress daily leads us to the point where recreation becomes very important. A weekend away, just a change of pace, a short vacation. And then we need to find a model to follow. You think about the humanness of Christ and all of the situations that were a part of his life and ministry that could have caused him great stress. And we think about how successfully he handled life. And he did this not only because he was God, but because he had a proper relationship with other persons. But you know, even our Lord had times when he got away by himself in order that he might renew within him that which was a part of his own living. And finally, let me suggest to you that one thing that I picked from my reading was that perhaps you could find a special someone to help you. A person whom you particularly admire, with whom you have great confidence, who you can trust to be honest with you, who you can share your innermost feelings, and yet know that when that person begins to caution you and instruct you and advise you, that you will not get upset over the fact that these suggestions are being offered. Perhaps someone that can even pray with you to help you through a situation that otherwise would leave you in stress. We need to look wisely at our own lives, because stress is a growing problem in this society of which we are part. And we have a tendency to say glibly that stress is because of the pressures of the society in which we live, whereas the stress may really be related to the way in which we individually relate ourselves to the pressures of the society in which we live. And there is a difference. And we need to look within and see what we can do about it. It is not an easy task to live with stress. Obviously, it would be impossible for us to impress ourselves too strongly that it's a problem that cannot be ignored. Because when we leave it unresolved, it leads to personal discouragement, it leads to broken health, it leads to emotional hurt, and dissolved personal relationships. We simply cannot live with it forever. But if we learn to cope with our stress, we will find great benefit in all of our relationships, and we'll find a deepening and a strengthening of our own spiritual life. And it comes as we begin to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And then in proportion to that, let all other things come along as well. No matter what the cause of stress in your life may be, there are answers. And actually, the development of good relationships with other persons and a strong relationship with a loving God is a part of the answer to your need. May God grant us the ability to live with our stress. Let us pray. Our Father, we know that these are very difficult days, but we know that You have created us as those who have dominion over all this universe. So help us to use the God-given powers that You have created within us, the ability to think through, the ability to love, the ability to relate, and help us, Father, that in all things we glorify You. We come to You needing Your help. We pray in the name of Christ.